keep your eyes on the road and your hands up on the wheel. As the Lizard King once wrote, hello friends, welcome in to this edition of Fusebox number 85, Honky Talk. And boy, are we gonna cover that annoying syndrome of the American language. Notice, I didn't say English. Is they? They actually have a better sense of pronunciation in many cases, but I digress. I'm your real, not real host, Mark Rose, and over there, gyrating with wild abandon as he manhandles the mixer faders, yes, the Dean of Decibels himself, Milt Kanes, everybody.
Thank you kindly. You know, that's kind of a weird word, though, isn't it? Manhandle.
Yeah, it is. It is a very weird word, as you would never say woman handles, would you?
You had better never say that.
I guess it just refers to the generic being rather than a gender type of thing. That would be really awkward, you know?
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere near it myself.
A wise man for sure. A very wise man.
Speaking of promotion... Watching the weirdness that with Jim Carrey lately.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah, I have noticed this behavior. So, friends, in case you've not been following this highly interesting, yet I think pretty easy to explain series of odd personal appearances that Jim Carrey has been doing. The last several months now. Jim Carrey, as many of you will know, is a brilliant actor, comedian, artist, who's known for roles in films like The Man in the Moon, The Truman Show, 23, The Mask, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, The Cable Guy, and of course that television series In Living Color, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And also, actually, a few years ago, a commencement address he did at Maharishi University went sort of viral, and continues to be, because a lot of the content there is quite inspiring. And that's regardless of your particular spiritual pathway.
My pathway leads to Suicide Sally's on a good day.
Duly noted. But Mr. Carey here is providing us all with some sublime entertainment, I must say. He makes frequent mention of the fact in interviews that he isn't actually here, or isn't really the personality being known as Jim Carrey. He is, in fact, merely a consciousness, dancing for the amusement of itself. And as he says, we all are as well. Also, Carrey has made numerous statements regarding the nature of reality itself, that it's merely a collection of polyhedrons, a construct, if you will, assembled by consciousness to once again dance with itself and experience every possible manifestation in this three-dimensional world.
So how many mushrooms did it take to get to that point?
Well, you know what? You're sniffing at the right door, Mr. Kanes. But let me set this up just a little bit. Firstly, what Carey is talking about is, of course, a common belief in many Eastern schools of thought. It's referred to as Maya in the Hindu version, which is an illusion, a veil that seems and is designed to seem very, very real, but, like dreams, is something else again.
Of course, the guy's a method actor too, right?
Yes. Yes, he is. That's another interesting point, and kind of where we're going here. A movie coming out in March, I think, starring Carey, is based on a book that chronicles a series of experiences that, well, I guess you'd call him a philosopher, Terence McKenna experienced during his many years researching hallucinogenic plants in South America and elsewhere. Most specifically, this one form of psilocybin mushroom that he and his colleagues worked with. The film is called True Hallucinations, And Carey is playing Terrence McKenna in this biopic. So to me, aside from all the stuff he's been saying or how he's been saying it and all that stuff, this is pre-sale banter for this film. Which, by the way, Carey also claims to have taken the recommended 5 grams of dried mushrooms to prepare for this thing, which stands to reason, I think. But this guy, he's a very immersive type of performer, and which I think, you know, just makes him great. Other people get there other ways, but...
What was that thing Olivier said once? Try acting, dear boy, it's easier, some shit like that.
Well, yeah, but, you know, everyone has their way to find the character, right? And frankly, in my humble opinion, playing a character like this one might take some actual hands-on experience to totally grok it. I mean, totally. I mean, if you're going to play a drunk guy, yeah, it's mostly behavioral and might have some interesting internal stuff that can come into it. But with something like psilocybin, it's not heroin or LSD or pot or even peyote for that matter. And in the dosages that this guy was working with, I'm sure the internal information was pretty profound. So you ought to check out that documentary on Terrence McKenna, done by filmmaker Peter Bergman. It's up there on YouTube. It's also, by the way, called True Hallucinations. I know, this is getting very confusing. And this is a pretty interesting backstory to McKenna's process and his life. But be aware, dear friends, this thing clocks in at almost 3 hours. And as I say, it's up on YouTube for those interested. Not coincidentally, Mr. Bergman is also helming this new production with Jim Carrey. As I said, looks like it's coming out in March of this year. I may do a review of the documentary that's already up on YouTube in a future show for folks who aren't sure about the time investment there. I'm going to tell you right now, though, it's not going to be in everybody's top 10. But there were some interesting ideas in there.
Did you say 3 hours?
Yeah, 249 and change. To be quasi-exact.
Wow. Well, maybe if you get really loaded and watch the thing, it wouldn't feel as long.
Or maybe even longer. You never know.
The show for everybody, but not everybody will like it.
As you may know, we chatted about this fiasco of the net neutrality rollback on the last program, and since that time, there have been some additional developments, and one such development is taking place right here in the fine state of Oregon, as there appears now to be an initiative taking place to make net neutrality mandatory in the state. Of course, this is going to meet with all kinds of opposition along the way, although I'm fairly confident that, at least inside the state here, that there will be clearly a majority backing this one up, but...
Not going to make the cable companies too happy, though.
Like it matters how happy they are? I mean, this whole ISP thing is so openly monopolistic that it's, you know, it's another one of those situations where, hey... The emperor has no clothes. And you know what? He's just a little ugly on the side, too. Ew. You know?
Well, careful there. You wouldn't want those cats to turn the tables on us. And then, you know, we would find ourselves deep in some...
Kidding. Just kidding. But again, you just don't know, do you? So I'm not really sure how this would work, or if it even can legally, but I'm betting there would be a bunch of states that would likely propose a similar recourse.
They'll, of course, be waiting around to see how it shakes out here first.
Probably. But in any event, something needs to be done, right? As we talked about on the last show, there are something like 180 municipalities around the country in the process of creating their own internet provider service, you know, like a public utility. Now, I know that the one we reported on last time in Fort Collins, Colorado, is extremely vocal about their intention to do this.
Of course, now that the government has shut down.
as we know, they are actually back on now. Looks like Congress has agreed to not disagree and approve a spending bill for at least the present time to keep the government going. Does this strike anyone as odd that historically, this is the first time in recorded history that the U.S. government was forced to shut down in a time when the Republican Party control both houses of Congress? I mean, really?
Well, this shit show just gets crazier every day. But I gotta say, and when you first mentioned it, I was not really buying into it at all. But now, you know what? I think you may be right, that this guy is exactly what this country needs to push reset, you know?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind. This guy is the galvanizing agent to cause a whole lot of waking up to occur. And we're seeing probably just the tip of the iceberg here, I think. We've really coasted through a lot of things in the past few years, and now it's time to re-examine everything and shed a light down into those stinky, dirty little holes. See what's causing the stench. Oh, and speaking of that shining a light idea, I don't know, Milt, if you saw this piece from Ars Technica on the public opinion tally of the FCC's net neutrality rollback thing?
Yeah, safe to say I missed that one.
Well, not shocking at all. So at the ShmooCon Information Security Conference a few days back, I kid you not, that's what it's called, the ShmooCon. Anyway, quoting Ars Technica here, Leah Figueroa, lead data engineer at the data analytics software company Graywell, presented a detailed analysis of the public comments submitted to the FCC regarding network neutrality. Applying filters to the more than 22 million comments submitted to the FCC, Figueroa and her team attempted to identify which comments were submitted by real U.S. citizens and which were generated by bulk uploading bots. I love that. Continuing now. At the end of September, Figueroa said she and her team pulled in all of the submitted comments from the FCC site and applied a series of analytical steps to separate organic comments, those most likely to have been submitted by actual human beings, from comments submitted by automated systems, bots, using faked personal data. Now, Here's the interesting side note, friends. The overwhelming amount of opinions claiming to support this rollback came from bots. And of course, those, a million or so, had the email address linked to Pornhub.com.
Sure, porn will know what to do.
So once again, friends, the facts behind the facts are from lying liars that lie. And worse, they're not even real liars.
Kind of how I feel about the government. They're not really there either.
Well, be that as it may, the magnifying spectacle of truth once again reveals the carnival sideshow style of politics going on in that place over there. We can add to that, by the way, the ever-growing list of things that are spewing forth. Or is that pooting forth? I'm never really sure about the distinction there. However forth it is, there it is.
Yeah, that's why I don't read the paper.
Well, sadly, more and more folks are joining you. Seriously. Most info is obtained online for sure these days, and maybe that just makes sense with all the echo-awareness things going on right now. And speaking of annoying static and buzzing and the such...
Telling you, man, the master of segues right there.
I know. I impress me. Really. I've been meaning to air this little bit of additional annoyance for a while. And just couldn't find an appropriate segment to do it in. And this one isn't either.
But since we're killing time...
Yeah, that's right. Just waiting for happy hour, you know?
Well, hell, man, if you're just waiting on that, it's got to be happy hour somewhere on the planet. Singapore. I'm sure it's happy hour there.
Thanks for that global watering hole update. No. No, the thing I wanted to address, and believe it or not, it really actually does, albeit tangentially, relate to that watering hole idea. I want to talk about the American English patent disregard for the letter A.
Will I need some kind of dictionary for this?
No, sir. I will do all the heavy lifting on this one. Promise you. Let's take a look at an interesting phenomena that occurs when some folks see a word spelled like this. Let's all try to make this as irritating as possible, can we? All right. I'm going to spell this for you. R-A-G-A. Okay? Now, this word comes from India, and it relates to a musical form played in Hindustani classical music, mostly. And you'll hear it associated with the sitar a lot of times. It's pronounced raga, not raga, okay? Not eh, eh, okay, not that. Well, here's another one. The Japanese word spelled like this, M-A-N-G-A. It's pronounced manga, not manga, okay? So here's the deal. Somewhere in the mix of geography, the soft A sound, like ah, became eh, right? You know, like a buzzing insect. Ah becomes eh. See what's happening there? See what? That was flying insect syndrome. The ah is becoming eh. Okay? All right, now, not irritating enough. Let's keep going. Now, here's another case of this. This one is a new craze. At least it is out here, and I suspect it is in a lot of watering holes around the country that are beginning to feature this liqueur. Well, actually, it's not really a liqueur. It's an amaro, which is like a bitters, right? So it's called Fernet Branca. Okay, not Branca. Now, I have an associate of mine who was informed by a person who should know better that it was pronounced otherwise. But that's not the real pronunciation. Not according to the actual distillers in Italy. So, the sales rep, who probably also says, man. Gah. It's truly Branca, okay? Branca. Now, how do I justify this? Very simple. There is no sound like buzzing insects in Italian, Spanish, Japanese, Flemish, or Hindi, or any other civilized tongue other than seemingly here. What the hell? I suppose you could also say that the curious wormwood-infused liqueur is also being slaughtered mercilessly as well.
You mean that pink nymph stuff again?
Green fairy. And yes, that was an early casualty, man. Absinthe became absinthe. Now, not as horrible, because, again, no buzzing insect there per se. You could make you could go there. But it too is one of those Americanizations that happens here, because it appears too complicated to say absinthe, right? I guess what happens after that, if you do say that, you're forced then to prance around with a wrist array, and that's it. You're doomed. Is that it? I don't know. Fine. I don't care. I'm not going to get all Edwin Newman on you here, but that's just the...
Was he that guy at Mad Magazine, the What Me Worry Kid?
No, that's Alfred E. Newman. No, actually, Edwin Newman was a TV journalist for NBC for decades and was a renowned English language scholar and a guy who did not suffer fools of grammar very well. As a matter of fact, he would have been appalled at this show, let me tell you.
No, man. Stuff like that would make me want to punch him in the neck. It's a damn word. Relax.
Yes, well, you know, mere words have started wars on this spheroid, haven't they, friends? Anyway, just an observation of a letter phenomenon that has been ongoing and will continue on, I suppose. Oh, there's one right there. See? Continue on. Newman would be all over that one. Of course you're continuing on. What else would you be doing? On is not a direction per se, it's an action. Because the previous word already implies continuing, meaning to go on or keep on.
Yep. Punch him right in the neck.
And now, another edition of Problem Man.
Oh, I can just go out this way.
I'm sorry, sir. You can't go out that way.
What? Oh. Well, I'm sorry. Wait. No. I came in this way.
Now, I'm sorry, sir. You can't exit from there.
What? Wait a minute. No. No, there's my car. I'm just parked right outside.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sir. You just can't go out that way.
All right. Then I'll just go back this way. All right.
No, I'm sorry, sir. You can't come back in this way.
What? Wait. Well, that's... What?
I'm sorry, sir.
Hold on. I can't go out that way, and I can't go back in to go another way?
Yeah, I'm sorry, sir.
Well, that's impossible. If I can't go out and I can't come in, what am I supposed to...
It's fine, sir. You'll just be resorbed, sir. It's fine.
Resorbed? What the hell are you talking about? I don't want to be resorbed. What the hell does that mean, resorbed?
It's quite fine, sir. No worries. You'll just be resorbed.
Hey, buddy. Look. This has been really amusing, okay? But I gotta get the hell out of here now, okay? You hear me? Just let me go this way, okay? I can just, you know, nothing more. What is this? What is this foam? Why am I foaming? What's foam? Why is there foam? There, no, not good. I don't like this. No, it's not good. With that, we'll rub our little back legs together and buzz on out the door. But not before thanking our brave and stalwart contributors, Nico Floresca and Jeff Pollard, for providing a light in the deep, dark tunnel of show. Also, a heaping mound of thanks to our always attentive and definitely not insectoid Milt Keynes for technical assistance.
My pleasure, as always. But the giant mantis aliens are coming. Just saying.
Hell, they're already here. And they've got jobs working at Target. Above it all, thank you, friends, for pushing play on this edition of Fusebox. We do so much appreciate your aural patronage, as well as your financial patronage. If you like what you hear...
Hell, even if you hate what you hear...
Heaven forfend! But yes, friends, bound on over to the Fusebox store and get yourself something fun and fabulous from the bounty that awaits you there. Easy to do. Just click the shopping tab on thefuseboxshow.com's main page, and it all becomes a blur after that. A swirling, magical experience where you will find all sorts of Fusebox-related merchandise to please even the most fussy among you. Insect or not. The picky, too. We promise. We really do. I have been your not-quite-pre-digested but feeling a little runny host, Mark Rose, saying until our next cartoon. Fuse.